that.
Yeah. We tried to find a trailer to go along with it. It wasn't anything clean enough to show, and so we couldn't. So they either shot somebody or somebody was half naked. So anyway, but thank you for being here today. If we start this new series, we're talking about Hoosier One, and why I started it with that is because some of you have already made your mind up that this mission is impossible. And so when we talk about leading people to Christ, it's your greatest fear, okay? But it's also your greatest accomplishment. You'll never really, there's nothing more you can do to someone in their life than tell them about Jesus Christ. And when you're convinced of that, you'll see the importance of it. But a lot of you have already made up your mind. It's like it's mission impossible. I'm not going to do it. I mean, you can say what you want to. It's not my calling. It's not this. It's not all. So if we go through this next month, you're going to be very uncomfortable. But that's okay, okay? That's okay. It's what my job is to make you uncomfortable. And because when you serve Christ and you live for God, you will be uncomfortable in the world that we live in. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because this world ought to make us uncomfortable, okay? So as Mike and I looked last week, the last few days, and tried to find a trailer to go along with what we were going to do, the Mission Impossible thing, we really couldn't find anything because, again, it was so much violence and so much things that were in there, it wasn't anything we could put up there, okay? And so we decided just to go with the song. So we were going to play it safe, okay, not offend anybody. So hopefully the song didn't offend you anyway. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we're going to begin at. And we start this series. I'm going to preach a couple of messages. Mike's going to preach a message. And we're going to have Alan's going to preach his first message for us here in a few weeks. And so Alan's going to preach for us. And then I'll come back and we're going to have what we call our big day. We're going to call it our friends and family day. Or we really hadn't come up with the theme yet of what we're going to call it. But that's when we want you to invite everybody, okay? And to bring your family and friends. And so today you're going to see some things done. As you leave, you're going to get a packet. And we want you to use the packet. Mike's going to tell you more about the packet and what we're going to do. You see that he's already done some stuff with the youth, and he's put some things on the cross. And so we're going to ask you to put some things on the cross that we'll be praying for these people. So we're going to ask you to identify somebody. That's what we're talking about today. Ask you to put their name on a piece of one of those cards and put it on the thing. Then you're going to have a bookmark with their name on it. You put it in your bookmark, and you pray for those people, okay? But also, you've got to go further than that. And that's what we're going to be talking about this next few weeks. And so it's going to be exciting. It's what makes my heart beat, I guess you would say. I like evangelism. It's something I realize. I look at the world and see a lost world out there for us, in front of us, and we're their only hope. Amen. That God's left the church here to preach Jesus Christ and to teach Jesus Christ, and we know that Jesus Christ is their only hope, and we have the answer to the questions that they ask, even though they don't even know that. A lot of times they don't even know the question, okay? And so it's our responsibility. So today we're going to get into this, okay? So the first one is number one is Hoosier One, and we're talking about it's a rescue mission. We're on a rescue mission. God's on a rescue mission. This world, if we go back into Genesis, we realize that God set the world up. He put Adam and Eve here. He gave them the perfect situation. They had one thing that they wasn't to do, and that was eat one little tree in the middle of the garden. And people say, first thing people say is, well, why did he put that one tree in the garden? Well, there's one reason he put that tree in the garden is that they wouldn't eat off of because he needed to leave them a choice. And so they had a choice. And when they had that choice, that does what? Because you have to choose to have really love for someone. I mean, God could have said, you're going to love me, but that's not really love. Love is, I have a choice to love you. And so, you love me, I love you back. That's a choice that we make. And so, they had a choice. They had one thing. They had everything they needed. They had one tree, and the devil tempts them. We see all that in Genesis chapter 3. And from that point on, we're living in a fallen world. And so, now we're living in a cursed world. That's why bad things happen to good people. That's why you have things happen in your life that are bad. That's why I have things happen in my life that are bad. And that's just the world we're living in, okay? But it's going to get better than that, okay? The best is yet to come. We get over in Revelation chapter 20 and 21, and we see there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's when it's going to be restored back to what it was intended to be. And that's when we're going to have a relationship with God again. And we're going to be with God, and God's going to be with us. Amen? But we got a process to go through to get there, okay? And our process in this world here is being saved, accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that determines what we do for eternity. And eternity is a long time. So let's kind of get into the message here. And all that was just for free. And then we'll kind of jump into this. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 through 6. This right here, why I picked this text here for is this. You wonder, what is wrong with the world? Have you ever watched the news and say, man, what is wrong with everybody, okay? Well, here's what's wrong with everybody, okay? You need to realize this is what's wrong with everybody. Let's figure it out here. It says the God of this age, who is he talking about? Anybody know? Who's the God of this age? The devil, right. Elizabeth's not here, so y'all going to have to answer these questions for me. That's Elizabeth's my question answer, okay? She's not here. Well, Jeff Brewer does pretty good, too, back there in the back, yeah. But we're talking about the devil, okay? That's the god of this age. And look at it. It's spelled with a little G, okay? You need to make a note of that, too, because he ain't really God, okay? But the god of this age. And look what he has done. He says he has blinded the mind of the unbelievers. So you say, what's wrong with the world? They're blinded. They don't see truth. They don't see it from a biblical perspective. They don't see it from a God's point of view, okay? They're looking at it from this world, not the world to come, okay? So you got to understand that. So that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about, listen, salvation is an inside deal. It's not you seeking after God, it's God seeking after you. And the only way, if you're saved today, you need to realize it was a work of the Holy Spirit. He came in, he convicted you of your sinfulness, and he had you to see your need for salvation. And then he puts like people like you and I along the way just to tell people what they need to do to be saved, okay? So it's all a God work, okay? God convicts them. The Holy Spirit works inside of them. Our part is just giving the message. We're just planting the seed. We're just watering the seed. But God does the growing. Amen? So that's our part. And so that's what the problem is. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God. And some folks here see this as a difficult mission. And God, it can be, but it's only when we try to pick green fruit. And so, God, what we're praying today is that, God, you help us identify who you're working in their lives around us. We're not trying to twist an arm. We're not trying to convince somebody of something they don't want to do. It's none of that, Lord. God, it's a work of you. It's your Holy Spirit, God, showing people. But there's people out there, God, that you've shown the need, but they don't know the direction to go in. They don't know what to do. And, God, that's our responsibility is to share the gospel with them. And so, God, as we get into this study, as we get into this next few weeks that we're talking about evangelism and leading people to Christ, God, just lay someone, if we talk about identifying today, lay someone on our hearts that you've put around us that needs to know your truth, Lord. That they're searching, they're looking, you're seeking them. And God, show us who that person is that we might reach them with your gospel, God. God, use this time that we might identify and that, God, we might live a life that glorifies and honors you and tell other people about you, Lord. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. So in opening, we see here, who's my one? And I've got a name out beside it, okay? I can't fill that in for you. You've got to fill it in for yourself. And you might not do it today. I've been praying. I've been knowing we're going to do this for several weeks now, and so I've been praying about this. And so God has laid a name on my heart, and so I wanted to try to get ahead of the game. And so anyway, so last week I said, okay, this is who it is. And this is the thing. It's like when God laid the name on my heart, and I'm not going to tell you who it is because I might eventually, but I'm not right now. But who it is that someone's close to me, and I don't really know about their salvation. They don't go to church. They've been a couple of times. You know, they were raised in church and stuff like that. And anyway, but when God laid that heart, I thought, oh no, God, not that one. I mean, no, not him. I mean, you know, he knows me, you know, but that should be a good thing, right? I mean, it should be a good thing. I mean, you know, we say, well, we don't want to reach anybody that knows us, okay? Well, if you're living a life for God, then that should be the easiest person to reach because they see something in you that they don't see in themselves, that they see something they need, okay? Well, anyway, I get my, and you're going to see, we're going to hand you some go and tell sheets out. We got them in your bulletin also. And you're going to see why this is, okay? So here I'm in this scenario. This is a guy that I know really well. I've known him all my life. He's in my family, okay? So anyway, so I said, okay, God, I believe this is who you're laying on my heart. I'm going to go talk to him. Well, the first thing that you ask is this, and this is why we put the go and tell sheets in your thing. Because I'm trying to think, well, I am thinking like you, okay? You think, well, Brother Nate, you're just going to do this, and it's not going to be anything for you, but it's not, okay? I got in my truck that day, I started praying, I said, okay, God, I'm going to go to this place of business, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to talk to him now, because I normally go there from time to time to stop in to say hi to him and things like that, so I'm thinking, okay, now how am I going to get past, you seen any deer, have you caught any fish, like, because that's what we normally talk about, things like that, and how about the family, you know, stuff like that. So how am I going to bridge it over to talk to him about Jesus, okay? So that's the hardest part. It's called the bridging, okay? Those of us that have been to seminary and things, it's called bridging. It's how you talk about the family, the weather, and all the things you normally talked about people, and how do you bridge it over into a conversation of talking about God. That's the hardest part, okay? It's called bridging. So what I'm trying to do with the sheets is I'm trying to make it as easy as I can for you, because when I thought about it, I thought, well, man, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to carry one of those golden tail sheets with me, okay? And I've got the sheet memorized, okay? But I was going to still have it in front of me, and I'm still going to fill it in, okay? And so anyway, so I go up to the, I drive up and I'm praying all the way over our God, prepare his heart, because I know I can't do anything. I mean, I know he's heard all this before. He's been in church and this and that, so la, la, la. And so all these things are running through my mind. So I pull up there and all of a sudden his truck's gone and the business is shut down. Evidently they had to go work and do something that day, so there wasn't any up there. And I thought, I almost said yes, but then I said no. You know, I thought, okay. But this is what I said. I didn't sit there and defeat what I said. Well, he's not ready yet, you know. God knew, because I was praying, what? God, I want to try to reach him, but I know he's got to be ready before I can do anything, because my words will fall on empty ears if he's not really ready. So I just sat there at the business, and I prayed a minute, and I said, God, you know exactly when he's going to be ready. And I said, so you direct me here at the time you want me to be here. And I just put my paper back in the truck, and I got in my truck and drove off, okay? So that was my first encounter. It was a nothing for most people, okay? But let me what? It wasn't a failure, because I was faithful in doing what God called me to do. And what you're going to see today, if we go through this, I'm going to do the devil's toolbox too. You're going to see that the only way you can fail in this is not to do it, okay? That's the only way you can really fail in this. Because when you do what? As long as you're faithful, God sees that as being successful. You see what I'm saying? So I was successful because what I did, I got my sheet, I got my truck, I drove to the business, and I was going to go in and talk, but he wasn't there, okay? And so that wasn't on me. That was on God. I said, so God, he just wasn't ready. He's not ready yet. You know that. And so when you get him ready, let's let it all work together where it's going to work out good and everything's going to work out good, okay? And so that's what I'm counting on, okay? So that's what my situation was this week. And what was I wanting to do? I was wanting to come up here and say, man, I had my one. I filled his name out. I've been praying for him. And here his name is on the sheet. And he's sitting right back there. Raise your hand. But it ain't happened this week, okay? And it might not happen, okay? But listen, I still did what God called me to do. I still did. Amen? And so that's what we want to show you through this process, that we're just asking you to be faithful, because God's going to put people around you that I'll never see, I'll never reach, and other people, but God's put them around you for a reason, okay? And that's one reason, is to be evangelistic. And realize what you're fighting against the devil. And he's blinded them. And what you're doing is you're asking God to do a work in them to prepare them to where they'll receive the message that you're going to give them, okay? They receive the message you're going to give them. So the first thing is, we're seeing here is identify. God reveals to me who's my one. That's our prayer, okay? We're praying, God, show me who you want me to talk to. And usually you can identify them in different ways. A lot of times it's people having problems in their life. Most of us that are saved in here today, not everybody, but a lot of us, we were saved through a situation, a circumstance that went on. Someone died, something happened, lost a job, had to move, you know, something, maybe a health situation or a financial. We saw our need for God. And then God worked through that saying, hey, yeah, you have a need, and here it is. Really, you need to get saved. And we saw that, and God put the right person at the right time in our lives, and we were saved, okay? And so that's what you're saying. God, help me to identify that person that you've put around me, that you're working. They're working in their life, okay? And so God puts us around people every day that we need to encourage. We need to give a sense of hope, give a sense of direction for life. Because why? Because the devil has blinded them to the truth. They don't really understand what truth is, see? Now, we need to realize that. So our mission is to do what? Is to point people to truth, and that's to point people towards Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Acts 1 in verse 8 through 11. Acts 1, verses 8 through 11. It says, but you will receive power, and that's what we need. This is not on us. This can't be us. It's got to be on him. It says, and he's talking to his apostles here. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, now listen, you've got to realize this is Jesus' last words. I'm going to finish it out here. This is the last thing that Jesus says to his apostles. Is that verse 8. Then after this, and look in verse 9, it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sights. And they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. And listen to what they say. I said, men of Galilee, he said, they said, it says, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. We need to realize, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So what happened here? Jesus is getting ready. I mean, you know, he's getting ready to go back into heaven. And he's sitting here with his apostles. And he's got one last thing to say. And what does he say? He says, I want you to be a witness. I'm leaving you. Okay, I'm going, you're staying. Okay, and the reason I'm leaving you here is because I want you to be my witness. And he's basically saying, I want you to go out all the world. Okay, and at that point in time, and they're standing in a little spot in the desert. It's like, how are we ever going to do this? Okay, well, they didn't know about internet. They didn't know about TV. They didn't know about radio. They didn't know anything. Like, they could never see how it's going to spread that way and how far the gospel could go. But Jesus knew those things. But what he was doing was he was giving them a commandment. He was saying, I want you to go. And what did they do? They sat there with their mouth. Oh, well, there he goes, you know. And then he does that, the second thing. What is it? That sends some angels. Hey, slap. Hey, man. Okay, he's gone. Okay, we're here. Then this is why he told you. Now get busy. And now that's what the church is here for. We're here to get busy because we're not on a cruise ship. We're on a battleship. And we have a mission to carry out. And our mission is discipleship. And the first part of discipleship is evangelism. You can't disciple people that are not saved. And so we have to start with evangelism. And that's leading people to Christ. And we have to understand that. And so the first part of it is being a witness for God. And we start by looking around us and asking God, who is my one? Where's my one at? Because you have people around you that God's put around you. There is no incidental running into folks. You need to realize that. God puts people around us, and he brings them into our path that we might be a witness to them. And so we start looking and asking God, and that's identifying them, okay? Today we're talking about identifying. That's the first part. I've got to identify my one, okay? The next thing you're going to hear is you're going to get into, tomorrow, next week we're going to talk about intercede, and let's talk about praying for them. Then we're going to talk invest, and I think Mike's going to be doing invest, and then I think Alan's going to be being intentional, and then I'm going to come back the last and do invite, and so you need to invite that person, and that's going to be our big day when you invite people to come and make a profession of faith, or at least hear the truth anyway. Okay. And so if I'm saved, I'm a part of God's rescue mission. You're on this. I mean, you're on the boat, man. I mean, it's no getting around this. You're on that part of the ship. And so God doesn't just save us from something, he saves us for something. You understand that? Let's say that again. God doesn't just save me from something, he saves me for something, and I have to understand that. And so who will be my witness? That's why I'm left here. Who will be my witness is what we're talking about. So what will stop me? Let's get into this. Let's get into this grocery list. Now, I've preached this part of this message a long time ago. I can't remember how long ago it was, but this is something that's very basic. I've read this a long time ago, this is what stops me. It'll be what stops you also. So I'm calling it the devil's toolbox. What's the devil going to do? The devil's going to fight you tooth and nail not to do this. So that's what makes it hard. The devil's going to fight you tooth and nail not to talk to that person he wants you to talk to. Because why? He don't want them to be saved. He don't want them to be saved. And you need to realize that. So what's the devil's toolbox here? Well, the first thing is going to be fear. Some of you have already, you're already afraid. It's like, man, I don't want to do this. You're mission impossible. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk to that. I don't even want to pray about it. Okay. I'm out of this. Okay. I'm out of this. Okay. But what does it say in Proverbs 29 and verse 25? Listen to what it says here. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Fear of man will prove to be... So what's going to stop you is fear. And what the Bible tells us that all our fears come from the devil, okay? And he says fear of man. So what you're saying is your fear of man is going to stop you. It's a snare. And what is a snare? A snare is a trap. It traps you, okay? It confines you. But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. And he's saying, so just be faithful. You know, get past it and be faithful. Then he goes on in Proverbs 16, 18 through 19, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Then he goes on, he says, better to be lowly. He's talking about lowly in spirit means to be humble and among the oppressed and to share plunder with the proud. And so he's saying here that stop being prideful. It destroys us. It keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. It keeps us from being the people that God wants us to be. So the first thing is fear, and then it's pride and fear. Let me get back to fear. The devil is the author of fear, and we have to understand it. And what's our greatest fear? Fear and pride, it's kind of combined, and I'll show you how. The first thing is the biggest fear you have is your fear of failure. You're afraid to fail. And all of us are afraid to fail. We don't want to be the failures. And so the only way we fail in this situation is not telling anybody about Christ. Again, it's not our work, it's God's work. We're just being faithful to carry the message that God gives us to be, okay? And the next thing is rejection, your greatest fear. So the two things that the devil's going to use you is the fear. He's going to use fear and doubt. And the thing he's going to use is the fear is he's going to fear of failure. You're going to say, I can't do this, okay? Mission impossible. Then he's going to say, then he's going to come at rejection. I wonder what they're going to think. I don't want them to reject me. I mean, how many people in here want somebody to see you and you walk up, oh man, here comes that guy again, okay? And the devil's going to play on that. It's like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that zealous. I don't want to be that, you know, that Bible thumper and everybody jokes and laughs about it, okay? And so that's going to be the fear that you have. The pride comes in. Pride is thinking of myself more than I do other people. That's what pride is. Pride is putting myself and it's putting myself above other people. But listen, this is something you hear me say all the time. We're here to influence people, not to impress people. You understand that? We are here to influence people and not to impress people. And if you try to be impressive, you probably won't influence very many people. Because what? They can see through your junk, okay? That's what we're here to do. We're called to be influencers. We're here to be pointing towards people, not to try to impress folks. And we have to get past that in our lives. And here's what pride says. Pride says, what will happen to me? They'll laugh at me. They won't want to be my friends. They'll reject me, okay? But humility says what will happen to them. Pride says what's going to happen to me. Humility says what's going to happen to them, okay? And we'll get to that a little later. And so we have to understand that. The second thing, so we have fear, we have pride. The next thing is going to be doubt. You're going to have doubt. Doubt that God can do it or doubt that God loves them enough. This is what happens a lot of times. You see the old boy thinking, he is so far gone. I mean, he don't care anything about God. He don't want to hear anything about God. Well, let me tell you what. That was said about me one time, okay? I mean, 30-something years ago, that would have been the testimony of my family and my friends is that he's the last one that's ever going to be saved because we know his situation. So, you know, I've told you this before. I've told our church this before. I wasn't saved until I was about 20. I guess I was 23, 24 years old. And so after I got saved, though, I had a lot of family. We have these big family gatherings. You know, a lot of church knows about. We have over 100 people. And most of the people in my family say they're Christians. And they go to church and, you know, at times they would do things. They'd sing gospel songs and stuff. And they're always bless the food. And, you know, I've been raised around that, raised in church and stuff like that. Well, when I got saved, my first thought was, well, I wonder why none of my family told me about Jesus. Well, I had long hair, had hair down to here, had a big beard, I had a bad reputation, you know. And I guess what I realize now is they were afraid. They were afraid to tell me about Jesus. But, you know, when a person's lost, how lost can you get, okay? I mean, you know what I mean? It's not lost number two, okay? But what I've learned through my experience of this is that they really did care about me, but it was all these things, and I'm telling you today, is the reason that they didn't share Christ with me. So I went 20-something years lost and would have died and went to hell if I'd have waited on my family to lead me to the Lord because they had these things happen in their lives, and they were very doubtful that anything within my life would ever change because of the reputation I had and because of the lifestyle I was living. Listen, you don't know where God's working. Amen? They didn't realize that my situation was this, is that I was in a trap. I wanted out of that kind of a lifestyle, but I didn't know where else to go, okay? And I was too cool for church, okay? I mean, I'd done the church thing, okay? I was too cool for that, so I didn't want that. But I didn't know what the truth was. See, I'd been in church, but I was one of these that wrote on stuff and, you know, threw paper wads and, you know, and did whatever I could for. I didn't have to pay attention to what the speaker or the preacher was preaching. And so I'd been in church, but I really didn't know what the truth was. And so for a lot of people, you have doubt about the person. When God lays somebody on your heart, you're going to say, man, listen, they won't never listen to this. They don't care. They don't want anything about this. And so it's doubt. In John 20 and verse 27 through 29, listen to what it says here. It says, we know him as Doubting Thomas. It says, then he said to Thomas, it says, put your finger here, see my hands. It says, reach out and put your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Now, this is Jesus talking about Thomas, about his resurrection. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. That's one of the biggest things that we see the deity of Christ. And what that means is that's God in a bod, okay? That's God with us and through Jesus Christ. It says, and Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen, that's us, who have not seen and yet believe also. So we're blessed because what? I mean, I had never seen Jesus. Anybody ever hear that? Okay, I mean, you know, I ain't never seen God, okay, but I still believe in God. And because of the Holy Spirit and his convincing me, I remember when I got saved, and I was telling this testimony here not long ago in jail, is I remember getting saved, and when the pastor asked me, he says, Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? And when I said yes, it was like something come over me and thought, for the first time in my life, I really believe that. I don't know why I believe that. See, I didn't know anything about Holy Spirit or anything like that. I thought, you know what? I really believe that Jesus, you know, died for my sins on the cross. I really believe that now. And I didn't know why I believed it, but I really believed it, okay? I'd heard it before, and I would have told you, oh, yeah, I believe that. But at that point in my life, I really believed that. And now I know what it was. It was the Holy Spirit convincing me. The preacher wasn't convincing me of anything. He just read a scripture. But the Holy Spirit convinced me of what? That this is really real, and you need to really believe this because this is what truth is. Amen? So it's a work of God. So that's what happened to me. And it's like I got up that day and I prayed and accepted Christ and I walked away and I thought, man, I really believe this, okay? And at that point in my life is when I really got saved and turned my life over to Christ. And so a lot of people doubt that God can do those things. And so we have to understand that it's a God thing. And so it's doubt that God loves everyone or people can be saved because of they hadn't gone through the right process. There's a thing out here now. Barry and I went to a meeting here in Bellevue a few weeks ago. And it's a movement out there now. And I didn't even know it was a movement, but it is. But it's a process. And so now salvation is a process. Well, now you've got to know so much before you can be saved. But see, the problem with that is the Bible don't teach that. And I went through some series. I went through some sermons telling us, teaching you about that. How do we know that's not true? One thing is because of the thief on the cross. I mean, what process did, Jesus didn't start with creation and then talk about Abraham and then go over to Joseph and then go over, do to the prophets. And he said, now that you understand all this, do you really want to be saved? He didn't say that. He said what? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise, okay? Then we also know the Philippian jailer. I mean, we understand the Philippian jailer and what he says, that he was saved. And then we also know the Ethiopian, okay? He was searching and God was seeking him. We understand it. But listen to what the Philippian jailer here, Acts 16, verse 21 through 31 says this. It says a jailer called for, remember that, that Paul and Silas was in jail and all of a sudden there's a great earthquake and the doors flew open and everything. And in those days, if you were a jailer, if you were in law enforcement and a prisoner escaped, guess what? You died for that. I mean, they took your life. If you lost someone, you died. So this guy's freaking out, okay? He's in big trouble. And remember, all these prisoners are here, and here's what happened. It says the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And here's the gospel truth. Here's what it is. This is what they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Amen? I didn't hear anything about baptism. I didn't say anything about church attendance. I didn't know anything about knowing your Bible, okay? He didn't say you got to understand creation. You got to understand this. You got to understand. He says what? He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And what did he do? He did what? He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. And then what did they do later? I mean, they did what? They went eventually to baptize him. Why? Because baptism is a picture of your salvation. You're dying with Christ when you go under the water. You're being raised with Christ when you come back out of the water. That's what it is, okay? It's a symbol. It's a picture. It doesn't do anything for you, okay? But it's symbolic of what you've done on the inside. It's you've been saved, okay? And doubt will stop you from doing that because you say, well, they don't know enough. I've got to do all. No, listen. You let God take care of that business, okay? All you do is present the gospel. You just present the truth to them, okay? The next thing is love. It's love. And what I'm saying here is love. And sometimes it's lack of love. We say we love someone, but we really love that person. In 1 John 4, in verse 19 through 21, this is what it says. It says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother. You say, well, I don't hate anyone. Well, hating is being in a disagreement or not being, properly acquainted with them. He says, yet hate his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So he says, if I say I love someone and I know him, then I've got some responsibilities of this love. Then he goes and he says, and he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So I have to be a lover of the brothers. You know, we have to realize, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Cain and Abel, remember that? I'm not my brother's keeper. Yes, you are. You're responsible for the people that God puts around you. Because why? Your lifestyle, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you act, and also your responsibility of telling about the Lord. So love, what love will do is this. If you really have love for someone, what it'll do, it'll fight through all these fears so you will be a witness for them. I guess one of the most frightening times I'd had ever been about telling someone about the Lord was years ago. I hadn't been saved very long, and I had one of my best friends, and And I was wanting to make sure that all my friends were saved and things, and I hadn't been called to ministry or anything yet. And anyway, so I had this one of my closest friends. He'd lived with me for a while, and I thought, man, you know, he went to church and everything, but I never heard him talk about God. Never heard him. You know, I mean, I had a full dose, okay? Man, I was reading my Bible. I was going to church. I was doing different things. And so I saw what my salvation had done to me and how it changed my life in a dramatic way. And he had kind of lived out the same kind of life that I had, so I knew his situation too. And so anyway, me and him, we decided we was going to go fishing one day at Real Foot Lake. And I thought, well, you know, we're out in a boat and I got him, okay? He's not going anywhere, so I got him. But I remember, man, hands sweating. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, we get out there, start fishing, you know, and I'm thinking, now how can I bridge this conversation in? And anyway, so I can't remember how I did it, but anything, I went through the plan of salvation with one of my best friends. And like I said, I hadn't been saved but a year or so, and I sat there in the fishing boat at Real Foot Lake, and I went through and I said, listen, and this is what I said. I remember saying this. I said, man, I really care about you, you know. And I said, I don't want to see you die and go to hell, you know. And that kind of, you know, I said, so let me ask you this question. I said, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yeah. And I said, when? And he says, well, I started going to church, la la, and, you know, the pastor came over to the house, la la. And so, you know, he went through the plan of salvation, and I prayed and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I said, well, great, you know, great, you know, great. And so he says, well, man, and then he looks at me and says, well, I appreciate you asking, you know. And we go back to fishing, okay? But let me tell you, it took everything in me to muster up the courage to talk to him about Jesus Christ, you know. But he was my best friend. And I knew, I hadn't been saved hardly no time, but I knew one thing, that I couldn't really say I loved him and not tell him about Jesus. Amen? Now, that's been 30 years ago, but I'm telling you the same thing. You can't really tell someone, say that you really love someone and not tell them about Jesus Christ, because he's the most important thing in your life, or he should be. And I didn't want to see that person laying in a casket one day and say, I wish I'd have told them. I wish I'd have sucked up my pride, okay, and got past and been humble enough to say, hey, this is the most important thing I can do for you, is tell you about Jesus Christ. And praise God for that, okay? I'm thankful for that. And thank God he is saved, okay? But if he wasn't, I was prepared to do it. I don't know if he'd have said no. I don't know what I'd done next, okay? I can't remember. I'd have probably just stopped and freaked out, that I'm sure God would have shown me. But it has to be a time in our lives that our love for that person, our care for that person, pushes back all the fears, all the doubts, all the things that I've mentioned here, the pride, pushes through that and says, I don't care all about all that. The devil's too about. I don't care all about that. Listen, I love that person, and I know the most important thing I can do for them is tell that person about Jesus Christ. And I don't want to wait too late. I don't want to wait too late, okay? And so we have to understand that. So how can I say I love someone and not tell them about Jesus Christ? The greatest act of love you can show anyone is to tell them about God's love and how he's forgiven you and what he can do in their life also. So what will cause me to do this? What's going to get you past the devil's toolbox there, what he's going to use? Because he's going to use those things against you, okay? I can assure some of you in here sitting here right now, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, here we go. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. All this kind of stuff like this. What's going to get you past the fear, the doubts, the pride, and the lack of love, and all those things? What's going to get you? Well, here's the last part of our message, okay? What will cause me to tell someone? Well, first of all, remember how it felt to be lost. Remember how it felt to be. The one thing the devil wants to steal from you today is your realization how it felt to be lost. I remember feeling lost. I remember that. And I didn't really know about salvation. I've been to church and all those kind of things, but I wasn't really plugging in. I was just kind of showing up just to, you know, please my parents or whoever. And so, but I remember now, as I remember laying in bed one day, and this is what I remember years ago. This is before Mona and I even married. And I remember laying in bed one day and getting ready to get up. I worked a second shift at the time, and I was getting ready to get up, and I laid there and I thought, man, is this all there is to life? You know, just get up and go to work. And for me, party. That was all my whole life was about parties. That was what I was living for. Get up, go to work, party, come home, go to bed. You know, get up, go to work. Is this all there is to life? And I remember sitting there thinking, and I wasn't a praying person. I'm thinking, God, there's got to be more to life than this. And I'm saying there is more to life than that. Amen? There is more. There's a lot more to life than that. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't know that truth. And it was probably 4 years later before I ever got saved. But listen, I still remember asking that question 4 years before I got saved. Because why? Because I was looking for something. I was looking for something in life that I didn't have. And wasn't anybody there telling me what I needed, see? All those family members, all those people that were around me that went to church and everything, they wasn't telling me. Because why? Because I had a bad lifestyle. I was living the life. I was on drugs and alcohol. I was doing all those things. And so they're saying, man, he don't care. He don't want to hear. He thinks he's got it all figured out. No, I didn't. I didn't have it figured out. I didn't have anybody around to help me figure it out. Amen? until finally I got in trouble and got put in jail, and then I had a bold enough preacher come and preach, show me the gospel, and I accepted Jesus Christ, okay? That's what happened, okay? So you have to realize, remember how it felt to be lost. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 through 11. See if you can identify with this, okay? Here we go. It includes most of us. It says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? And he said, oh, Lord, I'm not wicked, Brother Nathan. Well, let's go through this grocery list and see if you measure up. It says, do not be deceived, neither sexual immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitution, or homosexual offenders. You say, oh, man, I don't know about all that. Let's get a little further down in verse 10. Nor thieves, nor greedy, nor the drunkard, nor slanders, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Anybody left out of that list? You know? I mean, how many people is in here ever told a lie? I mean, how many people have ever stole anything? Well, we're a bunch of lying thieves is all we're all, okay? And we're just showing up for church. And so, but then he goes on. Here's the contrast. Listen to what he says in verse 11. And this is what some of you were. That's the key question. There's the key thing. That's what you were, okay? Then he goes on, he says, but you have been washed. Oh, my goodness, listen to this. You have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, what's he mean? We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. And then what that sanctified, remember we just got through preaching about that here the other day. Sanctified means we've been set apart for God. And then he says, it goes on. He says, we've been justified. You know what justified? That's a legal term. It means that you're now pronounced not guilty. Amen? From all my sins, thefts, I'm not guilty. So God sees me what? I'm washed under the blood of Jesus. Now I've been sanctified. I'm set apart for God. And now I'm a saint. You're either a saint or you ain't, okay? You might not feel like a saint. You might not even look like. But the Bible says you're a saint because you're covered under the blood. And now it says what? At that point in time, you were justified, which means that God the Father says now, not guilty. Not guilty. You know why you're not guilty? Because Jesus took your sin debt. Amen? He took our price. He took our pain. He didn't die for his sins. He died for ours. And how many sins did he die for? He died for all our sins, past, present, and future. Amen? That's good news. And that's what you're presenting to people. You're presenting to people good news. That's why. Listen, that's worth telling somebody, okay? And so the first thing is remember how it felt to be lost. The next thing is reaching out to people. Remember the person that told you about Jesus. Remember that person. His name for me is Brother Don Hicks. He was a pastor of my mother's church. He showed up at my doorstep about 2 years before I got saved. I was saying, let me go ahead and say that I was sitting there, what is on a Sunday afternoon, I was sitting there drinking a beer, and me and my uncle were smoking a joint. That's what we were doing, okay? I'm just telling you that's what happened, okay? We drove. He walks up, I get up, I look, he's got a suit on. I'm thinking, I looked at my uncle, I said, either an insurance salesman or a preacher. And I didn't like either one, okay? Sorry, Alan. But I said, you know, an idiot. I thought, and he keeps knocking. I'm thinking, well, he'll go away. Well, the TV's playing, okay? Well, he keeps knocking. I'm thinking, man, God. So I'm looking out the window. I said, man, put it out. And we got some spray and everything. And I opened the door. I said, yeah. I'm about that far. Yeah. He said, Nathan, I said, yeah. He says, well, I'm Don Hicks. And I said, okay. He says, well, your mother want me to come back here and talk to you. I said, about what? And he said, well, you know, she goes to church with me. And I think, oh, preacher, okay. And he says, you mind if I come in? Well, I was taught at least to be polite, okay. And so I said, oh, no, sure, come on in, you know. And so he comes in. It's like, I'm wondering what he can smell. And I know he can see. I mean, we got the beer. I mean, it's like, and then, but at that point, I'm thinking, I don't care, whatever, come on in, man, you know, come on. And my uncle, man, he is just, he don't care for sure, okay. I was scared of what he was going to say. Well, anyway, he comes in, and so I politely turned the TV down. We was watching the ball game, and he goes through, and he didn't go through the gospel. He just invited me to church. You know, he says, we're having a revival, and I knew what they were, okay, you know. And I said, yeah, man, yeah, cool, man, yeah. My uncle said, yeah. Well, he finally leaves, you know. He didn't stay very long. I guess he's scared. And so he didn't stay very long. He got up and left anyway for me and my uncle. And I remember this is what I told him, though. I want to tell you this. He says, well, I'd like for you to start coming to church. And I said, this is what I told him. I said, well, I'm not like those hypocrites. I said, when I come to God, I'm going to go all the way. I remember telling him that. That's what I told him. I remember telling him. And me and my uncle, after he left, me and my uncle, we high-fived it. You told him, man. I told him, okay. Little to know, 2 years later, he'd come into the Dyer County Jail, and I had gotten busted for selling drugs. And then he'd come in, and I had a whole different attitude, you know. And I, and he gave me a Bible. And he come back 2 weeks later, and he come back, and he said, man, you've been reading your Bible? And I said, yeah, I've been reading my Bible. He said, well, let me ask you. He said, have you ever been saved? And I said, no. He says, well, you know what that means? And I said, no. You know, and he goes through the plan of salvation, basically the ABCs that I go through over and over and over with you again, you know. And he says, you want to do that? And I said, man, yeah. And I got down there right in the Dyer County Jail and got on my knees that day and gave my life to Christ. Amen? Whole different scenario. Whole different scenario. But that's the man that led me to the Lord right there. And I thank God for his boldness enough. First of all, to come to my house because I had a bad reputation, okay? First, and come into my house anyway, knowing probably what was going on. But then have enough guts later to come back 2 years later to a jail. Because he was scared. I mean, I could see he was shaking. I mean, he'd probably never been into jail, okay? And they locked him up with me, okay? I mean, I could see he's sitting there with his Bible. It's just like this right here. I'm thinking, man, this guy's scared, you know? I mean, you know, and he's real white looking. So I'm thinking, man, I might need to help him. But I'm thinking, but now I thank God for his boldness and his willingness to come and share Christ with me. And I'm where I'm at today because of his willingness to share God with me. Amen? So I can tell you what he could have thought. Man, huh? I tried with him. I gave him a chance 2 years ago, man. He's getting what he deserves, man. He's locked up now, okay? And he'd have been right. He'd have been right, okay? But I thank God that he had enough boldness and he had enough guts to come down to Dyer County Jail and tell me about Jesus Christ. And now I'm standing here 30-something years later, I'm standing here preaching the gospel. Amen? Amen? I told you here a few years ago, sitting at my TV one day watching TV, God laid him on my heart. He's now a professor at Liberty University over in Lynchburg, Virginia. And God put him on my heart. So I said, you know, I'll tell you what I was doing. I was watching preaching. That's what I was doing. I was watching preaching. And they said something about people that had led you to Christ and how thankful we should be. But, so I texted him. I said, Brother Donald, I just want to let you know how much you mean to me and how much I appreciate you. And I sent that text. And about 10 minutes later, he sent it back. He said, man, you don't know what I'm going through right now. And you don't know how important it is for you to tell me what you just did. And he said, everywhere I go, I tell people about your story. Amen. Amen. And so don't ever forget about the person that told you about Jesus. There'll only be one that led you to the Lord. Amen. And that person is somebody special in your life. And don't ever forget about that. Amen. And we need to realize that. And the third thing is this. Is remember what happens if they die without Christ. Remember what happens if a person dies without Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. He said, then I saw a great white throne and him who seated on it. That's talking about Jesus. And earth and the sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up their dead and that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in it. And each person was judged according to what he had done. And in verse 14 it says, then the death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. He was thrown into the lake of fire. And what I want to say about this is we talked about the word eternity last week. And I gave you the definition of it. And here's the definition that you can kind of understand. It means unending time. And so a person that doesn't go to hell and burn up and that's it, okay, that's called annihilation, and we don't believe that. As much as we say that we're going to stay in heaven, we're going to be with the Lord forever, that person is going to be in hell forever. It's going to be an eternal thing. And they're not going to just go and get hot and burn up. The Bible is very exclusive about what hell's like, and it's not a good place. You think, well, I've got hell now. No, you don't. No, you don't have hell. You don't have anything close to hell here. And we need to realize that. So what I'm saying today is this, is that what we do here, the mission that we're on, the rescue mission that we're on, is important. It's very important. People's lives are at stake. Their eternity is at stake. And you need to realize that. And God has brought you into a realm of people, whether it be in a schoolroom, whether it be at an office, whether it be at a factory, whatever, a business, whatever it might be, God has brought people around you that need to know the truth. And the devil's doing everything he can to keep them from the truth, but he's put a light there, and that light is you. And you're to be shining that light towards Jesus Christ. And it's not just enough to be nice to people, because there's a lot of lost people that are nice, okay? You have to go further. The step past that is presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And what is that? A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. And C, confess him as your Lord and Savior. That's all it is. And then three Bible scriptures. What? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. B, what? A, Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And C is what? C tells us how to get saved. It tells us in one verse, Romans 10:9, it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you what? Will be saved. Will be saved. That's what that man told me 30-something years ago. And I said, yes, 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 yes.
And praise God, I did. Amen? And now I'm going to spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you have the opportunity, because this is what it is. You have the opportunity to do that over this next month. Well, really every day. Really every day. But you have the opportunity. And that's why we're emphasizing this. And so what did we do to make it easier for you? Well, what we did was this. We put that little sheet in your bulletin. And if you didn't get one, you need to get one. Why? Because I know what's the hardest part of doing. What's the hardest part of doing this, is talking about everything else and getting into a spiritual conversation with someone. And what we've done is this. This is what I'm asking you to do, okay? You can say this. My pastor asked me to go through this sheet with someone. And that's what I'm asking you to do that, okay? And if you need more sheets, we'll have them out here in the foyer all through this time. Well, Barry keeps them out there all the time in a little box, okay? It says take one, okay? if you want to go through it more than one, that's fine, okay? But if what I'm asking you today, as your pastor, I want you to go through this sheet, at least one sheet over this next month. I want you to go through this sheet with at least one person. And what it's going to do is it's going to be your end to them. Hey, man, my pastor's asked me to do that. Will you do this survey with me? And you're going to go right down through the survey, right down through the survey, right down through the survey. Amen? And it's going to lead you right to the last of it. It's going to let you go through the gospel with it. We've made it as easy as we can for you. I've seen people come to know the Lord with people that all they did was read the sheet. Just read the sheet and looked up. Read the sheet and looked up. That's all they did. And people say, yes, yes. Because why? It's not them doing it. It's the Holy Spirit's work. Amen? You need to realize. It's not. And listen, if you walk away and they say no, I used to thought I failed, but I didn't fail because, why? I did what God called me to do. And so the only way you're going to fail in this is not do it, okay? But if you do it and they say no, that's okay. That's between them and God. That's not between you and them, okay? And so you need to realize that. So look at that closing today. Who's my one? That's the question we're asking. Lesson to learn, there is no second chance. There is no second chance. Listen, the decision you make about Jesus Christ in this world is the only opportunity you ever get. Okay, you don't die and then say, "Well, you know, I'm grading on the curve." It don't work that way. Okay, this is their only chance is in this world, and you need to realize that. And the application is love will be my motivator. If you love that person enough, you say you love them, you say you care about them. Let me tell you why. You'll battle past all those fears that you have, because you're going to have them. We all do. I do too. You'll battle past all those fears and say that person means too much to me to let that person not hear about Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God, and you know how important this kind of work is, God. God, you have left us here to be witnesses of your love, your mercy, and your grace. And God, we don't have bad news. Oh, we have some bad news, but God, it ends with good news, because God, yes, we're sinners, and yes, if we die without you, we're going to go to hell. We realize that, and that's the bad news. But the good news is, God, you've made a way. And that's why it's through the person of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, God, that we might put our faith and trust in you and accept you as our Lord and Savior. And we're going to have eternity in heaven one day, Lord. That's the truth. That's the gospel. That's what the Word of God says. And we thank you for that, God. And so, God, let us be bold. Let us give us boldness, God. Give us, God, a means to end to these people, God. God, help us to find the right place and the right time that we can sit down with them and talk to them. And God, we know that to all of hell and the devil are going to fight against that, God, but we know that you're stronger than them, and that, God, you can open that door for us to have the right opportunity and right situation to tell them about you, Lord. And we pray through this event here we're calling Who's Your One, that people will be saved, that lives will be changed, Lord. We love and we praise you, and we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus, and amen. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're saying, well, Brother Nathan, I ain't got anything to tell anybody because I don't know how to be saved myself. Well, it's very simplistic. It's exactly what we're telling other people to do in this church and how to tell them. A, admit that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all of us are sinners. I mean, we've all bloated, okay? We've all bloated. We're all lying, cheating, thieves, okay? We've all done that, okay? And because we're sinners, we can't go to heaven. Okay, it keeps us out of heaven. B is believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sin. It tells us in Romans 5:8 that says God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The important part of that is while we were yet sinners. And so this is what the devil's going to tell you. Get your life straightened out and then come to God. Well, the problem is you can't get it straightened out without God, okay? So it's come to God and he'll help you straighten your life out. So maybe today you're here and you're saying, man, I need to be saved, but I got some things I need to get past first. Well, no, you put God first and he'll help you get past those things, okay? I mean, where I got saved at was a jail cell. I had a lot of things I hadn't got past yet. I still had an alcohol problem, had a a drug problem. I had a lot of problems, okay? But God helped me through those things as my life went on and as I matured in Him. And the last thing is C. And C is confess, and that means to agree with. And what that means is you're agreeing with God. And what does it say? It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And it says you will be saved. And so what it is, it's making Jesus the Lord of your life. And that's what the word we use for that would be the boss. You're surrendering. You're giving your life to Him. You're putting Him into control of your life. And the other thing is receiving Him as your Savior, that you believe that He died on the cross for your sins. And by putting your faith in Him, you know you can be saved. So what I'm asking you in here today is this. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've done that? See, just showing up at a church is not enough. You can come to church every Sunday and still die and go to hell. I can baptize you and drown you, okay, and you still go to hell, okay? I mean, you can do the Lord's Supper. You did all that. Listen, all those things are not for your salvation. They're because of your salvation. You see what I'm saying? The only way you get in the family of God is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it. And then you're in. And all these other things we do because of that, not for that, okay? So make sure you get that right. So maybe today you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God's going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you've never prayed to accept Christ today, I want you to bow your heads and I want you to pray this prayer. Let's all bow our heads. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Not out loud, you just pray it with your heart to God. Say, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for my sins. And I want to confess you today as my Lord and as my Savior. God, I give you my life today. I surrender to you, and I ask you to save me and help me to live a life that glorifies and honors you. Help me turn from my sins and turn my life over to you. And when I die, I can spend eternity with you, Lord. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen. Amen. Look up here. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant that, the Bible says you're saved. Amen. So that's a prayer I prayed 30-something years ago. And I probably had a whole lot more baggage than you did, okay? But I prayed that prayer. And how do I know it worked? Because it worked in me. And also, it's what's in the Bible. But it also worked in me. And my life was changed because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And He can do the same thing for you. And He can do the same thing for the people that you think He can't do. Nothing. The people you think are mission impossibles, I've been there, done that, okay? But God can change your life. Amen? God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Let's all stand.